We are studying the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14 is where we will begin today, 14:12. But I want you to set a tab in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 32. I'm going to show you something regarding the inspired language that the Bible was originally written in from Isaiah 32, and I don't think you'll ever forget it. But here we go, Proverbs 14:12. Now, my translation's going to be a bit different than yours because I try to make mine as literal as possible. So we'll have a variance there. There is a way that is right in a person's judgment, but in the end, it is the way of death. 13, even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of rejoicing is grief. 14, a backslider will be fully punished because of his ways, but a good person with the consequences of his deeds. 15, the gullible believes anything, but the discerning gives heed to his steps. And finally, 16, a wise man is one who fears and turns from evil, but a fool is one who gets angry and yet feels secure. Now, here's the way I'm going to teach these proverbs. This is what I believe that they are saying. 14:12, we had that last time, we didn't get to it. Human perception versus reality. Human perception versus reality. And then 13, life is filled with joy and sadness, and it is all from the hand of God. 14, those things done to the Lord and for the Lord is what lasts forever. And 15, our steps are determined action because of what we believe. Our steps are determined action because of what we believe. And here's the final one, 16, the wise knows his security is in the Lord only. That's the skill for living. Knowing that your security at all times is from the Lord and the Lord only. Well, here we go with our exposition, beginning in verse 12, chapter 14. This is a famous proverb from this book. You most likely know this by memory. There's a way that seems right in a person's judgment, but the end of it is the way to death. What one thinks is the right way could actually turn out to be dire consequences. The spiritual life, the apostles tell us, is walking by faith and not by sight. Wisdom has already spoken to that end in Proverbs chapter 3. We are to trust the Lord with all our hearts. And this is the important part. Lean not to our own understanding. See, all that cranium power you have doesn't do you any good when it comes to the skill for living. This way or lifestyle that is right, the word really means straight. We walk straight or right by observing where we are in conjunction to what we know is always, always straight or right. That's out on the sea, setting your compass and your bearing to the North Star. It's always north. And you follow it, you'll know where you are. For you and me, it's all of the scriptures. For ancient Israel, at the time of the writing of the Proverbs, it was the Torah, the law. For you and me, it's the Word of God, all of it, Genesis to Revelation. Set your heart upon it. Now look at this word judgment. It comes from what is consistently right. Consistently right. That means it can't possibly come from you. Here is a good explanation for judgment. David says, Psalm 16, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. See, the Lord is true north for us. And we are on that path and stay on that path as we know the Word of God and study the Scriptures. So what David is telling us is that he depended upon the Lord every day to king it, to run the kingdom. It wasn't his great skill, it was the Lord. And as long as he was in close association with him, he had good judgment. It was his daily dependence on the Lord. His right hand, the place of power, that was David's secret to success. His vital day-to-day relationship. And of course, here in the proverb, you see the contrast. The proverb contrast is man's own best thinking. You see that? And the end of it, the consequences of man's own best thinking. It refers to the outcome. What man can't know, because none of us know the future. We don't understand it. We had a very clear and very precise calibration for the Iraq war. We knew how we were going to attack all of those military men with their mighty minds and knowing how to use that equipment. And they cut through Iraq rather quickly. We all applauded when that statue of Saddam Hussein was torn down. But then it was after that, it was the end of that, that we began to question what's going on. What's happening? We were told that we would be welcomed like liberators. It would be France all over again. Every town, every community would welcome us. But it didn't work out that way. What happened? Well, the future happened. Somebody didn't do their homework or they had no idea of what the future would be about. There was no real wisdom there. We made blunder after blunder. The Iraqi army, we should have put them in a brand new uniform and had them be the police force, the militia for the country. Instead, we sent them home humiliated and broke. And now we're living in the backwash of that decision. ISIS, what we had never heard of before. Not the B team. No, they're the A team. And they grew out of that environment. We just didn't know the future. And that's the idea. We need the Lord. We need him every day in the Scriptures and in prayer. That's our guidance. That is the way we move forward. Wisdom, this skill for living, tells us that the best of man's thinking is not the best way because man doesn't know the future. The Lord does. And that's where we need to put our focus. See, this is a book of consequences. The right path that seems to the mind so straight and easy is not the right path. It's confusing. It's a house of mirrors. Here's the way Jesus put it for us. Enter the narrow gate, he said. For wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. How do we find it? How do we prepare to live life with skill Stay on the Lord every day. The book of Proverbs says the wicked path is crooked. We've heard that time and time again. Crooked. But look at the proverb. The point of the proverb, it appears straight. Here's the counsel. Stay on the Lord. Stay in His Word. The spiritual life is the life of Christ reproduced in the believer by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. That's your day-to-day walk. Are you in difficulty this morning? You have the Lord. Lean upon Him. Call upon Him. Roll those burdens, whatever they may be, on Him. He can handle them. You know what's amazing to me as I study the Scriptures? How wisdom is ready and available for us at all times. It occurred 1 Samuel 30, verse 24, and the victory over the Amalekites for David. They had all this plunder. What to do with it? Well, the men that fought the battle said, "We keep it." The men who stayed at the camp, they don't get a share. But David said, "No, it doesn't work that way." Wisdom instantly, and it became a law in Israel. How about the two prostitutes that claimed to be the mother of the child? That's 1 Kings 3, 24. And Solomon said, "Just bring me a sword. I'll solve this. I'll just cut the child in two." And suddenly, one woman became distraught. And Solomon said, "That's the mother." Instant wisdom. That's what you have. That's what I have. The Lord will give it to the believer in his need for the moment. Far, far above the ordinary thinking of men. And that's the proverb. Here's 13. "Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of rejoicing is grief." Just like our last proverb, present appearances can be deceptive. Another observation of the psyche of man. Positive emotions on the outside are not the full story on the inside. Now, this really occurred to me. I really lived this proverb just a couple of weeks ago. I got home, sat down in a chair, started dozing off, about half asleep. Suddenly, my wife burst into the room. She was in tears. She was distraught. "Oh my," she said, "our BSF leader for the state is retiring," she said. She said, "I'm so fragile, going through cancer. I don't need this." It took me a minute to wake up. Fragile? You fragile? Why, you're a buzzsaw. You're a whirling dervish. You're constantly on the move. You're teaching, you're on the phone, you're counseling. You are fully engaged. You fragile? But that's what she said. You see, it didn't appear that way to me on the outside. But that was what was going on the inside. I had a dear friend, a very good friend. I've known him for many, many years. And about 5 years ago, his father died. And suddenly, after that, he begins to open up to me in a way like never before. He tells me about his relationship with his dad. His dad never loved him, never gave him any affection. Dad never said he loved him or was proud of him. Never gave him a hug, a pat on the back. It was always, "You can do better. You should do better." And he lived under that burden until his father died. Then he opens up and he tells me about the depression that he had, his lack of confidence in life. And all goes back to his dad and that relationship. See, he appeared one way from the outside, but this is what was going on the inside. Life begins with a baby and a cry of discomfort, and it ends with a last gasp of air in discomfort. In between, we have this interim of laughter mingled with heartache and heartbreak. That's what's called life. There it is. And true to life, righteousness is joy. Now that's the proverb. That's what it says. You want joy? Then happy is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That's Psalm 1. That's the skill that we want. And the future for you and me is as bright as the promises of God. Those are forever true, 24 hours a day. But here's reality. Until we are with the Lord, we are going to have tears and fears and anxiety, disappointments, heartaches, and laughter. It's what's called life. Now, the proverb didn't give us what we need to hear. Salvation for those who know Christ is an eternal benefit. But that relationship with Christ is only so much right here, through the Scriptures, here, but not with Him. That is there, and that's what we long for. He made man from the dust, and He made man for a relationship forever. Never was it the perceptive intention for God to have man live apart from Him. Never. That's like taking a Volkswagen and putting it on the Bonneville Flats and expecting to break a land speed record. It wasn't designed for that. You want to break the land speed record, you need a rocket engine, a jet engine, and you need someone to fabricate a body in such a way that it cuts the wind. Now that rocket engine car will do you no good on Central Expressway. Now you need a Volkswagen for that. That's what it was designed for. That was the perceptive intention of the engineers. When you and I embrace Christ by faith, we begin to take on the mind of Christ. We find it day to day as it is revealed to us in the Word. And suddenly the future comes into view. Clarity, thinking straight, that despite daily burdens, Christ is what carries us each and every day. So much so that the Apostle Paul calls our daily burdens, our sufferings, he calls them momentary light afflictions. That's because the goal of being with Christ was so much greater than what he was looking at day to day. Amy Carmichael, great missionary, godly woman, went to the Eastern Indians. She told one of the women that worked with her, a colleague, "If you're ever out in some place and you hear that I have died," she said, "just stop whatever you're doing. Just stop it. Lift up your hands to heaven and just shout out loud, because my burdens are over with forever." That woman was hoeing when the word came to her. Out in the field hoeing, and she just stopped. And she lifted up those hands and she praised the Lord. "If you love me, you'll do that," said Amy, "because you see, my burdens will be over. Here's reality. Here's life. Peace, said the Lord Jesus, I leave with you." That's John 14:27. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be fearful." But that's reality, isn't it? That's real life. The spiritual life is not a panacea. It's struggle. But we overcome by the Lord. And that's what a believer is. He's an overcomer. Here's the end of the proverb. Look, the end of joy is grief. That's life. Life under the sun. All the joys and griefs, they're all working for a good and wise purpose. The Lord, He's making you into what He wants you to be. And that's the proverb. Here's 14. A backslider will be fully punished because of his ways, but a good person with the consequences of his deeds. A teacher of the proverb calls this deed and destiny. They're inseparable. That's all incorporated in the word way there in your proverb. The way you go, the way you live. Here we are, a new proverbial term. We haven't seen this before. Backslider. A person who is wise, but along the sojourn gets off the path. The skillful man stops living with skill and the skillful way. Life is to be lived under the mighty hand of God. That's what Peter says. Under His providence. And He will care for us and take us the right way. The wise perceptively persevere in that. Here is their day-to-day. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's the way, the truth, and the life. The backslider here, of course, and the irony was Solomon, the writer of our proverb. Why, he's the poster boy of backsliders. The king that wrote this proverb spent many, many years away from the Lord and away from the truth of his word. Now listen to his final words in life. You see, the lights are dim. He's about to die. The confetti's on the floor and the band no longer plays. The bubble machine has been turned off. And now he gives us a word of wisdom. Here it is. Fear God. Keep his commandments, knowing he'll bring every act into judgment. That's a wise word. You can hang your life on it. But here's a better word. Here's a man who's about to die. It's not confetti on the floor. He's not in a ballroom. No, he's in a Roman prison. He's suffered there with all the disappointments, never getting free in that filth and squalor, that stench. But listen to him. Listen to his voice. He says, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. What a different life. What a different spirit. It's energy. It's a positive outlook. That is the way to live. That is the way we want to go. These words, fully punished, disciplined, the Lord sees to it by His all-wise providence, despite whatever good we think we do. We'll see His discipline upon our life. We will talk to Him about that, the way we live. Here's the way the apostle put it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if any man's work remains, that means survive, which he has built, he will receive a reward. If any man's work be burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved as by fire. The backslider will be rewarded, but it's not the reward he was expecting. His ways, and notice the plural, ways, all those devious little roads off the path of the way, they'll be found out. If not in this life, they'll be found out in the next life. So what should we do? Here's what you should do if you're in that place. Repent. Repent today. Confess your sins. God will forgive you and He will prosper you right now, this way, today. That's what we do. And make that course correction today and keep it till the last breath of your life. And you will have a great life in the interim. You will. God will show you. Now, we've mentioned this before. The good man in the Proverbs, chapter 12 and verse 17, is rather a broad term that encourages and expands the totality of one's life. His deeds will receive a full reward. You know, I watch these financial commercials on the financial networks, and there's the actor, William Devane. He's always telling me to buy gold from Roslyn Capital. Well, I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but let me give you something that is a certain idea that always works. Stay on the Lord. Stay in His Word. Be a person of prayer. You will live a great life. That advice is free. You don't have to buy anything. God will give it to you. And He will bless you, your time, your intentions. So be faithful to Him every day. Here's 15. The gullible believes anything. He's naive. He's simple-minded. That's why so often the politicians manipulate you by bringing the Hollywood stars in. They tell you what to think and believe because people don't think anymore. If there's an explanation of our age, it is a lack of critical thinking. That's what the Bible is all about. Don't tell me particular facts. Just tell me what to believe. Observe in this proverb, we go from way, which is throughout the book of Proverbs, to right here we're talking about a step. Do you see that? Each step is our way, and it's important. The first line, the gullible here, he believes. You see that? What does that mean? That means credence. That means trustworthiness. It's the idea of stability to the messenger. He believes anything. Without logic, without reason, whatever message is sent, it is accepted. Now, how different is that than the skill for living? The skill for living teaches content. Now, you take the book of Romans. That's what it is. It's loaded with content. And then on the back end, in light of that content, here's how you believe and here's how you live. The book of Romans is nothing more than an explanation of the theology of the Old Testament. It's all about the Old Testament. There in the New Testament. You take the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is all about the superiority of Christ. He's better than Moses. He's better than the patriarchs. He's better than the angels. He is superior to everything. Focus on Christ. You see, that's what the content is. It is a thinking man's life. John puts it this way for us in his gospel, 20:31. These things, the gospel that I'm writing to you right now, was written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life through His name. So John's point, believe, trust, have faith in the content of what I've written. It's what guides our daily steps. Let's think about a step for a moment. How about in that house of Potiphar? And here's Potiphar's wife. And she comes to Joseph. Now, he's without family in a foreign land, and he's just trying to make it day to day. He's just a day-to-day guy. But his words, Genesis 39:9, to Potiphar's wife, how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? You see, it didn't make any difference what the culture was, what the time was, what the providence was. It was all about the Lord and His relationship to Him. That's a step, and He made the right one. Decisions and directions are steps. Living our daily decisions, daily habits, daily putting one step in front of the next. That's it. You know, I listen to these great athletes, and they now have a new phrase. And the new phrase is, when they're interviewed, is, I just cut out all the noise. What they're telling us is, they don't listen to the radio. They don't read the newspaper. They don't listen to the critics talk about them or their game. No, they're just focused on what's in front of them. I cut out all the noise. That's what the proverb is saying. That's real wisdom. It guides our daily steps. The skill for living, putting one step in front of the next, tuning out the world. You know, I refuse to let the world tell me what successful living is. I made that a commitment to myself a long time ago, and that's a good piece of wisdom for myself. I'm not going to let the world define for me what is true success, because I know what true success is. It is dependence upon the Lord every single day. That's true success. That is skillful living. He's given us a word to trust and to follow. I believe that, and I walk in it daily, one step at a time. And that's the proverb. Here's 16, our final one. A wise man is one who fears and turns from evil, but a fool is one who gets angry and yet feels secure. The contrast of the proverb is the one who accepts the lifestyle of submission to the Lord and the fool who by practice is beyond correction. In the first line, we must ask, what does it mean to fear? What's he talking about there? Well, the teachers of the proverb are all in agreement that the word fear is a shortened form of the theme of the book, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. It is your relationship to Christ. It is your relationship to Him. That's fear, a lifestyle of righteousness explained here as, look at your proverb, turning from evil. What is that, turning? Well, it's non-participation. Let me give you a living illustration of it. Abram traversed the land, but he never went into a city. He never went into a city in the land. Isn't that interesting? He pitched his tents far from the cities of the land because the cities were given over to paganism, evil, and he turned his back toward the cities. That's the idea. Pitched his tents away. Look at the contrast from turning in line one. It's the fool here in line two. He's an angry person. The proverb said he's angry with the Lord and he's angry with his people and the people who fear the Lord. That's who his enemy is. Now, notice closely, that attitude produces a feeling. You see that in the proverb? Now, feelings are real. We all have them. Every day of our lives, things all through life cause emotions. Here is an insight into your emotions. I'm going to give it to you from the proverb. It's positive and it's negative. Here is the one that works for you. Those things that drive you to the Lord, those are positive emotions. Thanksgiving, spontaneous worship, love for one another, dedication to Him. Those are all positive emotions. Here's an illustration. It comes from the book of Acts. Mark just taught us this. Acts 20:38. The fearless Paul, the rugged Paul, at the end of his trip to Ephesus, he was now leaving, and he knew he wouldn't be back on that road ever again. And so he greeted those elders with sorrow, and they all wept together. They labored together, building the credibility of the church at Ephesus, that selfless work over time, and now knowing that it's now over, they wept together. I love the lyrical language of the King James. They all sore wept. You know, I look at these championship teams. Now, they used to celebrate in the locker room, you know, the champagne all over one another and so forth. But recently, they've now celebrated with their fans. They're out on the field. And so the fans in the seats, they all applaud and they yell and they sing to them. That's a good idea. You know, enjoy and share the moment together. But what it dawned on me is I don't want to be one of those fans when it comes to the spiritual life. Here's what I mean. Let's just say you have a fan meter for your team, a 1 to 100. And so you're excited and pleased that they won the championship. The confetti everywhere, and you're applauding and yelling. But your applause and your yelling and your spirit is only on the fan meter 30, 40%. Why do I say that? Because you see, the real participants in the game, theirs is 100. And here's what separates you from them. You see, they were there at the beginning. In those hot, arduous days of preparation. They were there through the injuries, the tape, the whirlpools, the medicine that you have to take to reduce the swelling, the ice bags. They were there for all that. You weren't there. I wasn't there. They are celebrating the Niagara of a season that went up and down, in and out. And how many times did you and me sitting in the stands go, "That's it. I'm done with them." But their joy is 100%. And it suddenly dawned on me. That's where I want to be. I don't want to be in the stands. I want to be down there with them in Christ, devoted to Him, devoted to His work, devoted to you in prayer, devoted in preparation and study. I want the full thing. That's what I want, and that's what I want for you. A full locker room experience, full of emotion, full of feelings that far supersede anything you ever thought about prior to coming to Christ. Look at this second line here. Feelings of the fool are damaging to the soul. See, this is the negative part. In his anger, he feels. Now, in the translation, it is two thoughts, secure and unconcerned. Really, it is one particle. That's why I wanted you to look at this translation of Isaiah 32. I'm going to show you something from the inspired language. Isaiah 32, 9 through 11. Listen to this small particle. In the inspired language, it is an attitude beyond correction. It is cocksure of oneself, self-confidence. We call that in Texas arrogance. That's what this particle is. Here's the translation of it. You could translate it secure, complacent, or careless. Listen to Isaiah 32. It's a prophecy to the women of Jerusalem. "You who are so at ease, rise up and listen to me, you daughters who feel," there it is, "secure. Hear what I have to say. A little more than a year, you who today feel," there it is, "secure, will tremble. The grape harvest will fail. The harvest of fruit will not come. Tremble, you women at ease. Shudder, you daughters who feel," there it is, "secure. Strip off your fine clothes and wrap yourself in rags." One of the fine grammarians to the language refers to that small particle this way. It is to the one who thinks that he is secure, but he is wrong. That's the particle. So the proverb, "The one who by lifestyle turns from evil," contrasted to the one who feels secure. That's the idea. The God-fearing knows at all times that he lives and moves and has his being in a relationship with God. He lives his day-to-day in the fear of the Lord. Paraphrasing 2 Peter 3:1, knowing that all of this is going to be burned up, what manner of person should we be? Live for eternity. Think about those things, said Peter, and in doing so, you'll find true confidence and true security, and it'll never be in yourself. It'll always be in the Lord. That's the idea. Here is the end of the proverb. Look, the man who fears the Lord has nothing to fear. That's Charles Bridges. But the healthiest and the richest unregenerate are in grave, grave danger. They feel so secure, but they've got life all wrong. All wrong. And that's the proverb. God has brought you into a relationship with Him for a purpose, that you might be light and truth and salt in a crooked and wicked world, and you will stand out and you will shine because He is guiding you, leading you, providing for you through His eternal Word. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for our time together to study these Proverbs. I pray that each and every one of us would reinvigorate, recommit ourselves to live this life a skill to the honor and glory of Christ, who gives us power, who gives us life, and who gives us purpose each and every day we're here. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.